Well, Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Shabbat Shalom. So, let's see. We're back here from Kibetz, the 20s conference last week in Chicago, and it was a wonderful experience. I'll talk a little bit about some things that happened there in the message here today. But this morning, what I'm going to do is continue our series that we've been doing, the once-a-month, first Shabbat of the Month series on healing prayer and things related to healing prayer, I should say. And we're going to be picking up and continuing a theme of the Ruach HaKodesh, of the Holy Spirit, over the summer. And so we've gone through inner healing, physical healing, and now we're moving into this very important topic. And so today what I want to do is discuss the Ruach HaKodesh, or the Holy Spirit. I'll kind of go back and forth. And then we'll talk about him. And then during our healing service, we'll have a time to come and pray and invite the Holy Spirit to come. Let me just begin with a few questions just to kind of frame what we're going to be talking about. Who is the Holy Spirit to you? Just think about these. These are not to answer out loud. Who is the Holy Spirit to you? And do you feel like you've had some kind of encounter with the Holy Spirit? There's not a judgment thing here. It's not a better or worse. Just think about it. I want to raise questions today. Do you feel like you have an intimate friendship with the Holy Spirit? Do you feel like you really have no idea who the Holy Spirit is? That's okay too. So we're going to talk about that. In light of Shavuot coming up next week, which I hope you all come to the Shavuot service in the evening, I'm going to begin by unpacking the giving of the Holy Spirit, of the Ruach, in Acts 2, and then we'll move into a little bit more experientially about it. So of course, Shavuot celebrates the conclusion of the counting of the Omer, 50 days after Passover. And in the first century, this was also called Pentecost in Greek, which means 50 days. And so according to our tradition, a very strong tradition that dates at least back to the first or second century BCE, Shavuot remembers the giving of the Torah to our people on Mount Sinai, 50 days after we left Egypt. So now Shavuot is all about the giving of the Torah, and that's good. Now, jumping into Acts, just before Yeshua ascends into heaven, he told the disciples to wait for what he said was the promised gift of the Holy Spirit. He says in Acts 1:4 to them, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For Yochanan immersed with water, but in a few days you will be immersed with the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit." And so then I want you to imagine a scene there, you know, on the Mount of Olives, he's about to ascend. He says this to them to wait, and they come and they gather around him. And he says, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" And I want you to imagine, like, get back there and imagine what it would have been like. You've been traveling with Yeshua for the past, you know, 3 years or so. You've been seeing his miracles. You've been seeing, you know, the resurrection from the dead that we read about today. You know he's the Mashiach. You know it. And you're convinced at some point that he's going to end Roman oppression and restore the kingdom to Israel, get rid of all this corruption. But instead, he comes into Jerusalem and he allows himself to be executed before your eyes. You don't know what's going on. But then, you know, here he is now before you. He's resurrected from the dead, you know. And so you can imagine coming to him being like, "Now, at last, are you going to make everything right for Israel? Now, at last." And then he says to them, "It's not for you to know the times or the dates, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Now, notice Yeshua does not say, no, you got it wrong. This is universal. Restoration of the kingdom of Israel is not the plan. He doesn't say that. It's more like he's saying, "Not yet. But don't worry, I will. But I have some work for you to do first. And you'll need the Holy Spirit to do it." So what's important here for us is that we need to recognize that the Holy Spirit is not just like, not only universal in the biggest sense, but he's tied up with the restoration of Israel. And that's why it's so important as Messianic Jews that we receive this gift into our lives. This is what we're all about. This is what the Holy Spirit's all about. So going on in Acts 2, the disciples were gathered, presumably in Solomon's portico of the temple, on the festival Shavuot, along with multitudes of other Jews celebrating the giving of the Torah when the Holy Spirit fell. And we read, "Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven, filled the place where they were dwelling. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them." And I imagine it like flashes of light kind of going out like that. And then it says, "All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues, other languages, as the Spirit enabled them." So what does this remind you of? It's the giving of the Torah on Mount Sinai. And there's a neat connection here in our tradition, which I find so fascinating, if you can follow it. In Exodus 20:18, speaking of Mount Sinai, we read what's normally translated, "And the people saw the thunder and the flashes of lightning and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking." This is the scene here. And the Hebrew, where we get thunder and flash of lightning, the Hebrew kol and lapid literally means voice and torch. So that if we translate it literally, "So all the people saw the voices and the torches." In typical rabbinic discourse, the fiery voice of God that appeared like torches at Mount Sinai is explained with a verse from Jeremiah 23:29. "Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks rock into pieces?" Okay, so listen to this passage. The verse, "And like a hammer which shatters a rock," means that just as the hammer hitting a rock sends out many sparks, so too every single word that went forth from the Holy One, blessed be He at Sinai, split up into 70 tongues. That's from Tractate Shabbat. So this early rabbinic idea is that the voice of God at Mount Sinai divided into different languages, and those tongues were sent out as hot flames, like sparks flying forth from a hammer hitting a stone. And now, a great deal of early rabbinic material dates back, at least orally, before it was codified. And it's very possible that the disciples and those around would have known of this rabbinic legend, if you will, about the tongues of fire dividing over the people as the Torah left the mouth of God on Shavuot. And so, can you put this together? What does this mean? And I'll quote from Messianic Jewish Rabbi Carl Kimbar. He said, "It means that the disciples of Yeshua experienced the day of the giving of the Holy Spirit as a second giving of the Torah." That's profound. As a second giving of the Torah. Now, they wouldn't have seen it as a replacement of the Torah from Mount Sinai, but rather a living expression of it. So we read in Jeremiah 31:33, "I will put my Torah in their minds and write it on their hearts." So it doesn't make the written Torah invalid. It's the opposite. It makes it more important. It makes it more living in our lives. This also isn't the Holy Spirit's debut in the Bible. The Tanakh uses the same terminology to describe the endowment of God's Spirit on Moses, Joshua, Caleb, King Saul, King David, and more. Samuel and all the prophets prophesied by means of the Holy Spirit. Actually, in mystical Judaism today, a gift of prophecy is simply called the Holy Spirit. But this is kind of neat. In Leviticus, Rabbi Acha says, "When the Holy Spirit rested on the prophets like that, it did so only by measure, only for a certain time, for a certain purpose." And so the idea is that the Spirit is sent to particular people for specific tasks in measured amounts of time. But now, through Yeshua, John 3:34, John gives the Spirit. God gives the Spirit without measure. You see? So the difference between then and now is not the Holy Spirit. The difference is the measure that the Spirit has given, and that it remains, that it has the potential to remain. Since that Shavuot, when the Holy Spirit fell, I believe that access remains open to all peoples through Yeshua's atonement to the Holy Spirit, to God's power. And we think of the torn parochet, that huge veil shielding God's presence in the Holy of Holies in the temple, that when he died, it ripped in two. It's like we call it the democratization of the Holy Spirit going out to all people, access to the kingdom of God. Going back to Acts, we remember it's Shavuot, so there are Jews who have traveled from all over the place to observe this holy day when they begin to speak in tongues. And Acts actually lists over 15 different regions who heard the 12 disciples speak in languages and dialects that they didn't know. So 15 regions, but 12 disciples speaking. But some didn't even hear languages at all. Some thought that they were drunk. Some heard it as babble or as gibberish. There's something going on here. We'll talk more about that on Shavuot when we discuss this. In Acts 2:14, Peter stands up with the 11. He raises his voice and he addresses the crowd and he says, "Fellow Jews, these people are not drunk, as you suppose." I love this. "It's only 9 a.m. And it's so real, you know, it's like, come on, guys. It's only 9 a.m. But he says, "This was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all peoples. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy." Now, this isn't just like a small isolated scene tucked away in Jerusalem. You know, Peter's standing up in front of everyone on a major holy day saying, "The Messianic kingdom is here." That's what this is about. And clearly we're not in the fullness of the kingdom, but the Holy Spirit is like a down payment on that kingdom. And then if we read through the rest of Acts, it records the work of the Ruach through the disciples, involving everything from halakhic authority, a huge thing, to community building, to healings, to resurrection from the dead, deliverance from demonic oppression. All these things is the work of the Ruach that we see recorded in Acts. And I want to suggest that from a theological perspective, there's no reason to believe that the Ruach is not just as active today in our lives. Just as active. But there's been a lot of history. There's a lot of history. And, you know, for us Jews, we're up against centuries of replacement theology, which has sought to remove the Holy Spirit from the restoration of Israel and from the Jewish experience. So these things have become separated. And then on top of that, many in our communities have been burned or had bad experiences from some charismatic communities. And so, you know, people tend to shy away from these things sometimes because there's risk involved. And that's real, and it makes sense. I want to suggest that those hurts are real and can really be spiritual abuse sometimes. It's true. But we can't let those experiences rob ourselves of the inheritance that we have in the Holy Spirit. And I believe in a prophetic sense, we don't do it all the time, you know, we're growing, but I believe in a prophetic sense, we Messianic Jews are called to be sensitive, to be intentional, and to allow the Ruach to manifest once again in Jewish ways and in Jewish terms. And I don't even know what that looks like yet. We're growing. But I think this is our call, is to begin to put these pieces back together. See, however imperfectly we'll do that. Now, just to move into sort of like a practical space as we close out here, I want to suggest that the Holy Spirit is the one that brings our faith from our heads into our hearts. He's the one who makes our faith living. He is the one who brings intimacy with God that we can really experience. The Holy Spirit is the one that brings God's real living power into our lives. See? That's the part that's missing. My first encounter with the Holy Spirit was when I came to faith in Yeshua, and I probably shared that story way too many times here, so I won't do that, but just to touch on that connection here, because for me it's relevant, I can only speak from my experiences. I remember that as I let my guard down and whispered Yeshua's name, it was like I was flooded with this warm and gentle and big yet loving presence, and it carried with it this incredible love to see around. And at that time I didn't know about the Holy Spirit or anything, so I called it the presence with a capital P. That's what I would write in my journal. And Yeshua tells his disciples that he has to leave them so that they can receive, in Greek, the paraclete or the parakletos, which means advocate, or it means helper, it means a comforter, one who refreshes, one who nourishes. In John 14, he writes, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another paraclete, one to whom will help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him, but it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he will dwell with you and will be in you." And so, like, that was my experience, you know, like, that's what happened to me, this presence. You know, as I called it, the Holy Spirit brought me to Yeshua, who then brought me to my heavenly Abba, separate yet all intimately tied in together. And I want to say, she really meant this. I mean, he really meant this. And the ancient creed that we, you know, have, the ancient creed in the church that says that we connect to God the Father through the Son and the power of the Holy Spirit. It's true. It's a great way to explain it. We connect to God the Father through the Son, who's at the right hand of the Father interceding on our behalf, in the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's how these things come together. But I guess my main point is that it's real. It's real. And the Holy Spirit isn't just a force. It's really a person. It's personhood. A part of God's personhood. The Holy Spirit brings clarity. He's the Spirit of truth. And what was profound for me at this time, as with every other kind of mini experiences along with it, is the healing and the wholeness that he brings. And see, the Holy Spirit brings us into Yeshua's love, and he brings along with that love the desire and even the love itself to love others in the same way. For me, I'm a wreck without the Holy Spirit. I mean, totally, just ask Raina, I'm a wreck. I'm lonely, I'm depressed, I'm anxious, I'm dependent on others for validation. You see, I'm a wreck. Because he's my comforter. He's my refresher. My source for who I am. He's like my wall charger for my cell phone. For me, you know? He's the one who knows me, loves me no matter what. Because my heavenly Abba loves me no matter what. Now, just as I want to just qualify, as I share like my experiences with the Ruach and how I relate, it's not to say that everyone's experiences are better than anyone's experiences. You probably all have your own. But it's almost like just sharing these experiences gets us talking and thinking about these things in our lives. That's my point. And the other thing, other little qualifier is just that talking about these things or preparing this is hard. Because it's like talking about the Holy Spirit, who's bigger than anything we could possibly talk about, more intimate. You know, and you share an experience, and then he's there coming and saying, well, you don't really quite live that out. You see? And I just want to say, Seth, I'm probably the biggest hypocrite here when it comes to some of these things, because it's like we have these experiences, and then we're all broken and part of it. And I don't want to suggest by sharing experience with the Holy Spirit that, you know, we all have these things, and we're all growing. But just to kind of get into it, my understanding in how the Ruach literally means wind, and I think that air is a really good analogy here, because there's always air around us, but every so often, like, a breeze comes by. Or sometimes you get a gust of wind. And like the breeze of air, you can't see it, but you can feel the effects of it. And in my experience, the Ruach feels like a constant presence around, but also comes and goes to various degrees at various times, like the breeze. As he would desire. And so for me, the Holy Spirit comes and moves in me, sometimes in an emotional way. But it's hard to describe. It isn't that the emotion is the Ruach, but when he passes through, it sometimes evokes our natural emotional response. Does that make sense? Sometimes he's so gentle, so subtle. In my experience, my most comforting moments with him, you know, are on my orange bench, you know, orange prayer bench, you know. Where he seems to come and just rests over my shoulder and lets me feel in those subtle, those gentle ways his presence. But it's so quiet that if I weren't still in that moment, like we talked about last time, if I weren't still, I might miss it entirely. And it's in those times of intimacy that he can come and gradually begin to nurture me and to give me life and to let me know that he loves me regardless of what's going on around me. And other times he might come in a more dramatic way. I could be wrong about this, but in my experience, encountering the Holy Spirit is not just an experience in our lives, but encountering the Holy Spirit is an event in our lives. And I have seen that just in my experiences so far, and who I've talked to, I can experience it looks as different as there are different people here. It may come along with, you know, various visible manifestations, like we read about in Acts. It may be much more gentle, an internal awareness of his presence. It may come with tears. It may come with laughter. may come with tongues. It may feel like an electric shock. It may feel like a strong wave coming through you of shivers. It may be a deep peace. It may be joy. And this past week was really cool for me because it's the first time that we really got to do this in our context. In the conference that we did, the whole theme of the conference was on the Holy Spirit, specifically intimacy with the Holy Spirit. And we decided, the other speaker and myself, to really press in, to really, really press into the Holy Spirit, not just talk about Him theologically, but really press in. And it was awesome. I mean, in addition to the regular Shacharit services that we had, and, you know, Shabbat services, and we did Mincha, all those things, in addition to that, we had these two healing services in the evening that were intentionally designed to do this, and I had no idea what to expect. I mean, it was like, just, I was nervous about it, I didn't know what to do, but it was an amazing thing. Like, the Ruach just, He came in a very, very powerful way. And people shared about their testimonies, and I just share a few that people shared with the public, with the group. One young man, a college-age kid, came kind of distracted, you know, all these things. And at the service, he's just sitting there, and as we had sent people to go around and pray for people, you know, who were interested in receiving prayer, and I was kind of just walking around and felt led to go over to pray for this guy and just put my hand on him. This is in the context of praying for the filling of the Holy Spirit. Just put my hand in and began to pray gently. And he just like is like, "Whoa, what was that? That was crazy." And just bowed over and started weeping. No idea. I didn't feel anything. Okay, moved on. Later on, when he was sharing this experience, you know, in front of the campfire and everything, he was like, "What happened?" It was like this thing just came through him. He said it was like shivers times 100. And it was scary. And he said it was scary because it was real. And that meant he had to change. The team went around just praying for people. I mean, it was amazing just to see there, you know, people start just weeping. People who don't normally weep, the service is weeping and laughing. You know, a young woman shared around the fire that very balanced, very intellectual young woman, you know, came and said that she felt the Holy Spirit come over her, and she felt peace that she hadn't felt in years and years. Another person, again, not usually the kind of feely, sensational type, felt the Holy Spirit come and bring up several painful memories. We weren't even doing inner healing, but just came and brought up painful memories, and then showed up in those memories and started to bring healing without anyone praying for him. Another person felt the Ruach come over during this time and felt like the Holy Spirit gave her a word that seemed to plan her whole life. Like three things that just changed her life. You know, another person, the Holy Spirit came and seemed to convict them of a broken relationship, and through tears they were able to repent. He's asked for forgiveness and freedom. Another guy who found himself on the floor just weeping shared, I had no idea what was going on, shared at the campfire that he experienced a vision and he felt like he was brought into heaven in his vision. We weren't even praying for him. This is cool. And this was not a crazy thing. I've been to like crazy charismatic things. This was not that. This was like gentle, loving, quiet, peaceful. You wouldn't have known. Except for seeing the, you know, little things. But real. This was real. We weren't like going crazy and, you know, this and that. It isn't about charismatic-y stuff. It's not about emotional sensationalism. It's about a recognition that God is really alive in our world. That He's alive. That He knows you. That He knows your life. And for those people who felt like they encountered Him, it became an event in their lives. It's like, this is real. And I want to suggest that the Holy Spirit is real for us too. And it doesn't mean that we take over Shabbat services with this kind of thing. I think we need its own space for it. Because davening our liturgies is equally as powerful and as important, you see? Need his own space. But to conclude here, I don't want anyone, there's a big risk in talking about these things, and it's a hard thing. I don't want anyone to feel badly for not having some sort of an encounter. Everyone has their own experiences. There's a passage in Corinthians which says that if you can say that Yeshua is Lord, then the Holy Spirit is at work in you. And I believe that. And I don't think this is a matter of being loved more or not or anything like that. It's not a matter of judging different things. But at the same time, I want to take the risk because I want us to press in for more. And it's not about an experience. It's about transformation. And really, if the Holy Spirit can be measured at all, it's not through these experiences. It's through the change in a person's life. It's a change that brings a greater ability to love, that brings more joy, that brings more patience, that brings more kindness in the hard moments of life. That's where we all need to grow. And I think that receiving the Holy Spirit, like Yeshua promised, is coupled with a faith act, which begins, this event begins a dynamic life with the Ruach. So just like a marriage, it's really like that. There are good days, there are bad days, there are ups, there are downs, there are dry seasons, there are wonderful encounters. But it's a relationship that you need to cultivate, that you can open up, that you can flower, that you can nurture, if you allow it to happen. And the Holy Spirit is a gift that God has given us for our encouragement and for others. And it's not only a gift given to talk about in theology books, but it's a gift given to encourage us in our struggles, to heal our broken relationships, to transform us, to renew us, to bring us into His presence, to give us spiritual power. And when we let the Holy Spirit move in, He comes, He empowers us to love others, to do our part, to build the kingdom here and now. And like I said, He brings our faith from our heads into our hearts. And then it goes into our hands. And He gives us the passion, He gives us the fire and the power to bear witness for Yeshua, the Messiah, to the ends of the earth. And perhaps the stirring of the restoration of the kingdom of Israel that the disciples so much longed to see. So Shabbat Shalom. And if you would like, join us for the healing prayer service this afternoon. We'll just pray.